Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Do you want a simpler life? One way to simplify it is to begin each day with solitude and silence. And I can well imagine the protests, but that's impossible. Is it? We've been talking about choices for which the Lord is going to hold us responsible. He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust, and He knows our limitations and our circumstances and our living conditions. I want to ask you this question. Can you offer what you consider these impossibilities to Him with confidence that He will agree with you? If it's really something that you desire, can you not rearrange your life in order to make it possible? I do believe that the Lord God will help you, and He always wants to hear prayer for help. He's eager to hear your prayers. And I do believe that it is entirely possible to have quiet time alone with the Lord, preferably early in the morning, because that there's a great deal of scriptural precedence for that. We sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee," and I wonder how many times we've lied behind the hymn book as we sang that hymn. My father set the example for us by getting up between 4:30 and 5 almost every morning, and people would ask him, "How do you do it?" And his answer was a very simple one: you have to start the night before. It's just not going to happen unless you eliminate a certain number of things, probably things which everybody else tells you you must not miss, but you're going to have to make some hard choices. It will simplify your life. In that little book, Daily Strength for Daily Needs, the passage for June 28th happens to fit in very nicely, as do many, many other passages in this book, with the things that I want to say tonight. It begins with a verse from the Psalms, "The Lord preserveth the simple." And the simpler we are and the simpler we desire our lives to be, the more we're going to find the faithfulness of God and His preserving us as we attempt to do that. And then it's followed by a little poem, "Thy home is with the humble, Lord, the simple are Thy rest. Thy lodging is in childlike hearts. Thou makest there Thy nest." And then from François de la Mothe Fenelon, a wonderful French bishop whose writings have greatly influenced my life. "This deliverance of the soul from all useless and selfish and unquiet cares brings to it an unspeakable peace and freedom. This is true simplicity. This state of entire resignation and perpetual acquiescence produces true liberty. And this liberty brings perfect simplicity. The soul, which knows no self-seeking, no interested ends, is thoroughly candid. It goes straight forward without hindrance. Its path opens daily more and more to perfect day in proportion as its self-renunciation and its self-forgetfulness increase. And its peace, amid whatever troubles beset it, will be as boundless as the depths of the sea." Let me give you some little suggestions about this quiet time, this solitude. For those of you who feel that you might need something like that, please understand me. I know that many of you don't need that kind of help, and I would be the last person to arrogate to myself any kind of authority over how you ought to carry on your devotional life. But I do get many letters from people asking for a little bit of help, and I've tried to think through some of the things that I've tried to learn in my own devotional life. And one of the things that helps me when I begin, because I'm of the earthy and terribly easily distracted, I find prayer and silence and solitude, very tough disciplines. So it helps me to put myself consciously, specifically, in the presence of God. I go to a place by myself, and that's much easier for me than it is for you mothers or fathers of young families, I'm sure. But you may be able to manage it, as my father did. He got up long before any of the thundering herd came down the stairs. And we knew when we came to breakfast that our father had been on his knees for several hours before we got there. Put yourself in the presence of God. Just say, "Here I am," if you like, whatever words may come to you. Realize his omnipresence. He is everywhere. So you are not just a solitary soul, but you are one of millions who are praying all over the world. One of the hymns that Jim Elliot and I used to love, and we used to sing together both morning and evening, different times, because it speaks of both morning and evening, is that lovely one, "The day thou gavest, Lord, has ended. The darkness falls at thy behest. To thee our morning prayer ascended. Thy praise shall sanctify our rest." And I'm particularly helped by the stanza that says, "As o'er each continent and island, the dawn brings on another day. The voice of prayer is never silent, nor die the strains of praise away." And it's a wonderfully fortifying thing to me to realize, although I'm one woman alone in a small room by myself in the presence of God, I am a member of this tremendous, innumerable company of Christians in earth and in heaven. And there's never a time, there's never a minute of any hour of any day when there isn't the voice of prayer going up. "As o'er each continent and island, the dawn brings on another day. The voice of prayer is never silent, nor die the strains of praise away." So I join my one solitary note in this orchestra with this tremendous invisible company called the Communion of Saints. And the Communion of Saints means saints on earth and saints in heaven. There isn't any distinction. Remember that God is looking down on you in love. Remember that he lives in you. Galatians 2:20, "Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Staggering fact, Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory, Paul says in Colossians. Then remember that he is here, present, in this room. Then humble yourself with deep reverence. And it helps me to take a posture of humility. That could be whatever is best for you. We were trained in our home to kneel to pray, and so that is my usual habit. There are also times when one wants to prostrate oneself flat on the floor, face down, because you have some special petition to make to the Lord, or maybe that's the way in which you want to humble yourself with deep reverence. Many in the Bible stood before the Lord, and there were those who sat. Stand, sit, lie, but I would not recommend that you try lying in bed. You know, this morning person thing is a lot of baloney, but nobody ever heard of it until the last few decades. But people used to say to my father, "How in the world do you do it?" And he just said, "Well, you have to start the night before." I don't think he was a morning person. I don't think there is such a thing. It's just an excuse. But I love what Oswald Chambers says: "Get up and think about it later." He had a way of just zeroing right in. Ask for grace to serve and worship God in your meditations. Then read the Bible, asking the Holy Spirit to open your mind, your heart, and your will. Meditation is an exercise very few of us know anything about, and it's a very difficult discipline. But it means to choose a passage from Scripture. Try to visualize it. Try to put yourself in that situation And I think the Gospels would be the place to start learning that, because the Gospels are stories, and it's not so difficult for us to try to put ourselves in a setting such as the Sermon on the Mount or the boat in the storm. Put yourself in the scene and ask God for correction and instruction and help and blessing. Now, by all means, this understand that this order is not divinely inspired. I'm just giving you suggestions, and you can rearrange the order in any way you like if these suggestions are of any help. When we ask God for correction and instruction, help and blessing, it might be well to pray Thomas A Kempis's prayer. And his dates are, I think, way back around 1100 or something. And he wrote, "Empty my heart of all useless care and anguish." That will simplify your life. Empty my heart of all useless care and anguish. That may mean that God wants you to forgive somebody whom you have not forgiven. And that will enormously complicate your life, because you're having to lug that baggage of bitterness and unforgiveness around through all your days. If we honestly want God to empty our hearts of all useless care and anguish, we need to think, are we refusing forgiveness to someone? That will be a huge load lifted and demolished if we ask the Lord's help in doing that.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.